Jimmy McGrath was a young man whose life was taken far too soon. Jimmy was attending a house party with friends back in May of 2022 here in Shelton, and an altercation between people not invited to the event and people who were there erupted. Jimmy, who was simply just there, was fatally stabbed that night. A teenager, later identified as Raul Valley, was charged in connection with the stabbing. The case actually went to trial in 2025, where Valley admitted he did stab McGrath and three other teens, but argued he had acted in self-defense. A jury ultimately found him not guilty of murder and some related charges, while deadlocking on several lesser charges. There's now a push for Valley to face a second trial, and a judge has a couple of months to make a decision on that. Meanwhile, it has been 4 years, four very long years for a family still trying to make sense of a senseless crime and a tremendous loss that still feels fresh to this day. We're connecting now with Kevin McGrath, a dear friend of ours and the father of Jimmy McGrath. Welcome back, Kevin, and thank you so much for giving us the time. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Melissa, for having me on the show.
So, Kevin, you and I have never talked about the case, honestly. We always talk about, obviously, your son, the foundation, which we are going to talk about as well. But we've never talked about the case. We've never even talked about the trial either. But you're willing to touch on it, at least, and I appreciate it. First of all, how are you, your wife, your daughter, how are you guys doing?
We're good. I mean, it's as you mentioned, you know, the wounds are, you know, they're still fresh to us. But, you know, we are, you know, we're together and, you know, we're pushing forward. We're grieving. You know, we all understand we grieve differently. So we're all respectful of that. So, you know, after Jimmy died, you know, our main focus was making sure, you know, that Rosie, our daughter Rose, you know, was successful. You know, she was going into her freshman year of college. So we really focused on that. You know, we've all been, you know, working with counselors. So we're in a much better place than we were 4 years ago.
Do you feel like where we're at now, there would have been closure by now, or at least the case would have been bringing more justice to your family?
Yeah, I would have thought by now it would have been, you know, closed out. You know, it really, you know, they did throw us a curveball last summer. You know, I accept, you know, maybe murder wasn't the right charge, but, you know, I was very shocked on the intentional manslaughter, and then that we went into hung jury. But as I always said, you know, I have faith in the justice system. It moves slow, but in the end, I believe we'll find justice. And, you know, with that, it's closure, right? Because one of these things is, as you asked about how our family is after 4 years, you know, we're kind of doing the right things. And when we kind of get on track and on stride, it's okay, we're back in court. And, you know, it hits us hard. And it takes a couple days to recover from that.
Feel free to say you're not going to comment on it, Kevin, because I totally respect it. And I just want you to know how much I appreciate you even being transparent on this show publicly. It means an awful lot. Has Raul Valley ever spoken to you guys? As I mentioned, he did admit last summer that he did do those actions. He says it was out of self-defense. But has he ever approached you or your family?
Never.
He's never made eye contact, never apologized in any way, even though he did the action.
No, but we don't expect that. You know, it's one of those, I think you're seeing with his new counsel, the tone is softer. But in, you know, going into this, you know, it was, you know, just, you know, their goal was to stay out of court as long as possible and stay out of jail as long as possible. It wasn't there was remorse or anything like that. We haven't felt that at all.
Last summer, and I covered the trial, as you can imagine, very closely, giving people daily updates, who took the stand, what came out of court, so on and so forth. And in my professional opinion, I do in some regard feel like the ball was dropped a little bit, in the sense that I am shocked that immunity deals were offered. I honestly, to this day, and I've had legal experts on the show, I don't know why there needed to be immunity deals offered in this, but I think it played a huge role in why the result was what it was last summer. And I'm curious what your thoughts are on that.
I agree 100%. And when I was told about the immunity deals, I was not pleased. But yeah, kind of understanding the rationale in Connecticut law, they thought they would get more information. In hindsight, I don't think the testimony of the two individuals that received immunity kind of swayed anyone in either direction from their testimony. But I do believe, a lot of people, the sympathy for Raul Valley is he's standing there alone, and he should be standing there with the other two people. I think we're all 100% in agreement with that.
At least the driver, Kevin. I mean, I will say, I think when you heard the drivers, first of all, the way he spoke about the case and the way it was very, it almost felt like, well, I have a shield. I'm good. Nothing can really happen to me. And it, to me, that was a real turning point in the case, I think. And that's where I did feel the ball was really dropped. And I'm wondering if you feel like even going into a second trial, if you feel like justice will be served properly.
I believe it will. I believe, giving the immunity, no one was in agreement to that. But in the very, very end is, although the other two individuals I hold just as responsible as I do Raul Valley, but Raul is the one that put the knife in my son's chest. And I think that's what everybody has to agree, has to understand. That's our thinking, we wanted justice because, how it was explained to me in the very beginning is, if they're robbing a bank and somebody shot somebody in the bank, the driver of the getaway car is just as responsible as the person that, pulled the trigger. So, yeah, we're very disappointed. A lot of it had to do with the rages. It's one of those things, they respectfully told me how they were going to approach it. They asked my opinion, but it wasn't, I'm not in charge of the state versus Raul Valley.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, Kevin, I appreciate you again being super candid and transparent about this. I know this is not comfortable. I know this is super painful. And so I really appreciate it. We are chatting with Kevin McGrath, the proud father of Jimmy McGrath, whose life was taken far too soon in May of 2022. We were talking about the case with Kevin previously, but I want to now turn to probably one of the best things that came out of the worst tragedy that any family could go through, losing a child. And what do you do after that? And almost immediately, Kevin, his beautiful wife, his daughter, they were surrounded by athletes and community members and leaders who said Jimmy was an amazing person. He was an amazing mentor, amazing student, incredible athlete. And what do we do in memory of him? What do we do? How do we keep his legacy moving forward? And so there was born the Jimmy McGrath Foundation. And so, Kevin, I want to talk about the foundation and what exactly it has been doing since Jimmy's passing and what it continues to do today.
Sure. Yeah. So the foundation, like I always have given him credit for because of the way, his volunteer work. And to this day, I run into parents that talk about how much impact Jimmy had on their son, whether their son was a freshman coming into prep or a transfer coming from another school. He dealt with a lot of complex problems in his friend group. And, just keeping that legacy alive through the foundation. It started when we were at Shelton High, and I just saw thousands of people just mourning his death, and I knew we had to do something. So since then, the first group that kind of reached out to us and helped us was Adam's House in Shelton. Mm. And that's a program that helps grieving children, whether they lost a grandparent, parent, sibling, or friend. And, they really reached out to us and embraced us and, tried to help the parents. And then, clearly, we wanted to support in Jimmy's honor, Bridgeport Youth Lacrosse. That was one of the programs where he donated or volunteered his time to teach the kids in Bridgeport how to play lacrosse. I believe he was going to be instrumental in volunteering at Wakeman Boys and Girls Club during the football season. working with the coaches and the kids. So we wanted to keep that legacy alive and just support those groups, because those, you know, it's teachers, coaches, mentors that are the ones that are working with the kids. And, you know, they kind of see the problems, you know, growing or manifesting. So what we wanted to try to do is get into those programs, provide troubled kids with, you know, mental health solutions. I mean, as you see with what's going on in the world in the last 4 years, you know, you would think a tragedy like Jimmy's death would be a wake-up call to the kids, but it really hasn't been. You know, it's, you know, kind of everybody's back to normal, which is fine, but now you're seeing kind of these takeovers, whether it's the takeover at Jennings Beach or the street takeovers, where like there's just no consequences. So we support our first responders through Tunnels to Towers, some of the local police forces around, because, you know, this issue is we all have to work together. And Melissa, I listen to your show a lot about, you know, the mental health challenges of not only our children, but everybody. And, we're just not addressing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I agree with you,
Kevin. We really want to look forward to, you know, have some type of, you know, fix for it. But as you know, it's not like you break your arm and one size fits all. Everybody responds to treatment differently. Some people medication works, some people it doesn't. So it's a very complex challenge.
It is. But I love that you mentioned that, Kevin, because you're right. I mean, if you get to the crux of the issue, we are seeing where we're in a society in some regard where there aren't consequences. Not proper ones. And when you balance that with mental health challenges or just the, you know, economic or whatever issues that the average person is going through, yeah, you it spells disaster. So I love even the fact that, yes, it's so in line with what Jimmy was doing and believed in and would have continued doing, I would imagine, if still here. But also, you know, addressing something that does in some regard tie back to what even happened to Jimmy, which he was just at a party with his friends. He was hanging out with his friends. And the fact that it ended the way that it did, to some regard, yeah, I think it spells that there's a lack of consequences in some regard. So I love even that you tie that in. I think that's beautiful. So, Kevin, I want to make sure people know you have your fourth annual Jimmy McGrath Foundation golf tournament. It is coming up Monday, June 15th at Smith Richardson Golf Club in Fairfield. Beautiful course. Tell us about it. And do you still have tickets available?
We have a few tickets available, but we've gotten to, you know, it's one of those, when you do a golf outing, yeah, you love to sell it out, but also you don't want people to play a 6-hour round of golf.
True. Very true.
You know, so we have some openings to accommodate, but we're in great shape again. It's a great event. Monday, the 15th, as you said, Smith Richardson. You know, we golf all day. Then we have a dinner, a raffle, an auction. We have Shameless entertaining us after the program. So, yeah, it's a good event. It's grown. It just brings the families together that have supported us through the last 4 years.
Yeah. Absolutely. And for people who want to just get more connected to the Jimmy McGrath Foundation, their mission, what they do, they have a few different events throughout the year that are just stellar. And again, it's incredible the work that they are doing, from youth sports and mentorship to trying to combat issues like, unfortunately, I call it youth crime because it is something else that's an issue. So supporting first responders, it's just amazing. As you know, I'm a super fan of yours, your family, Kevin, and the Jimmy McGrath Foundation and what you guys do. And we are certainly proud partners to be able to let people know what's going on. So I thank you so much for this conversation. I am going to link your website to ours, voiceofct.com, for people who want to still attend or support you guys or just learn more. We're going to put that on our website. But Kevin, again, I want to thank you so much. I really do appreciate you.
Great. And then, so thank you for putting on the website, because there are, you know, you can join us if you don't golf. You can join us for dinner and the music of Shameless after, you know, that, you know, we have just as many people come to that event after as we do the golf tournament. So it's a nice time to really celebrate Jimmy's life. And Melissa, we appreciate all the support that you've given our family and our community.
Yeah, always. I'm never going anywhere, Kevin. Don't you worry about that. You're stuck with me for life, baby. I promise you. But thank you.
You got it. I hope to see you Monday.
Yeah, I would love to see you as well. Kevin McGrath, thank you so much, and your family. And again, the Jimmy McGrath Foundation. I'm going to link that website to ourvoiceofct.com. Kevin, thank you again. We appreciate it.